Good evening, Blue Jays fans, and welcome to another lovely evening of Jaybird watching. I'm here with the normal gang. We got some good news and some awesome Blue Jays fun that we've been all dealing with here. But Brendan, Adam, how are we doing this evening?
Yeah, fantastic, awesome. Man.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah. Good vibes all around.
Yeah, ready to pop the champagne yet for our at least personal endeavors instead of eventual playoff hopes here?
Yeah.
So. Pop the champagne. Let's go.
There you go. So I'll just get right down to the dirt, down into it. The gang here has been partnered up with Minute Media, which is actually the controlling stake for fansided.com, which is ironically the place where the three of us goofballs met and had a chance to start goofing around and talk about Blue Jays baseball. And we are now the official podcast of Jays Journal on fansided.com. Fellas, I feel weird because this is like almost like I said, a full circle thing. Adam, you want to run with it? Because you were the first one of the three of us, I think, that actually was part of Jays Journal. And then we all kind of joined in, and here we are.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I feel fortunate that we were able to be acquired and pretty much scouted, right, to be the official podcast of Jays Journal. Wonderful community there, wonderful group of guys there. We've met a lot of people along the way, and notwithstanding the two of you, that's where I met the two of you. I started writing there. Actually, I started like my whole internet endeavors into sports casting or what have you on Jays Journal during the 2015 season. Sort of fell off because my wife and I were getting married, so I kind of didn't have a lot of time to do it. But then starting South of the Six, I immediately went to Jays Journal to, you know, pick up some people to see if they wanted to hop on the show, and that's where I interacted with you guys the most. So it does come full circle, and it does sort of, you know, let you realize that, you know, when you have an opportunity, capitalize on it. And we welcome the new audience. We hope you enjoy our material. If you want to get in on the action, we certainly encourage participation. We certainly encourage everyone to get their voice in. And Craig, you said this many times, we're barroom chat. You know, like we sometimes dive into the analytics, but basically we're free flowing, and we just talk about the latest happenings about the Blue Jays. The other two men in this podcast are far smarter than me, so if you really want stupid takes, that'd be me. If you're listening for the first time, otherwise, I'm the emotional one of the three. Let's put it that way. But yes, I feel very fortunate, and I'm very proud of what we have built as a unit here. So hopefully you people that are listening for the first time enjoy us as well.
Yeah, Brendan, your take has this was more or less just literally birthed out of my car, talking about, you know, what happened in Blue Jays baseball 10 minutes every morning. And then you and I jumped in, and then eventually swept up Adam Corsair on the free agent market as well. How has this been for you as far as, now that we're kind of, we got a bigger entity involved here to be able to continue doing what we've been doing, and hopefully the audience.
Yeah, it's super cool. It's, I can't remember the year I joined Jays Journal. I want to say it was 2016, maybe 2017, right around then. And wrote for years, pretty steady contributor, couple articles a week. It was fun. There was a nice way to get thoughts out of my brain and onto the internet for people to rip up and tear me new ones or agree with me, whatever it is. And then, you know what, towards the end, getting a little bit older and whatnot, I wanted to get in podcasting because that was really starting to pick up. And Craig, I know you and I, when we were still at Jays Journal, we met up in Rochester the one time when I was there for a concert, and we exchanged numbers, obviously, and then stayed in touch. And at the end of 2018 season, because I think it was February 2018 that you and I had met up, at the end of the 2018 season, I'm like, you know what? I really want to do a podcast instead of writing, because I was just, you know what? I want to try something new. You were already doing one, and you're like, yep, I'm in. If we keep each other accountable, then we'll do it. And started that, what, October 2018, and didn't stop. I think it was like bi-weekly. Then we were like, we have to do weekly when the season starts in 2018 or 2019. And then we went a full season, the two of us. And then we picked up Adam on the way, as you mentioned, and we've taken off. So it is pretty cool to be full circle back at Jays Journal, but in the format that we want to be, which is what's going to bring the best content for everybody.
Yeah, and fun content and interactive content is the big thing that we drive home on thing too. We are happy to chit chat with everybody on Twitter like we do during the ball games and whatnot. And we want to get more involved in during these live shows. So just as we're part of FanSided now and, you know, the official podcast at jaysjournal.com again, the whole thing here is if you are listening for the first time and you want to join in on these shows, we record every week on a Wednesday or a Thursday, and we, you know, advertise this out through our Twitter account so that we can know what that day to join in with us with a time. We're usually around 7 o'clock Eastern time, and join in on the chats on Twitter. We're watching the whole chat feed. I got right on my screen over here. I will see everything while we're talking here, regardless of which one of us goofballs is hosting that week. And we interject your points, have some fun, goof around. Like I said, have a few beers and just enjoy Toronto Blue Jays baseball. And that is not going to change going forward. We just have a new soapbox to be standing on and talking about Blue Jays baseball here. Nothing is going to change otherwise. But to that point, I just think it's hilarious the fact that it dawned on me during this conversation that I met both of you in person, and it was just where this all started. It was more or less us having a few beers together and, yeah. And goofing around, both of you. So having the pleasure of taking in a Fisher Cats with Adam and his wife, Cindy, and then you, obviously, Brendan and Sarah. It was fun to be able to goof around here when you happen to be in Rochester for a country concert. And that was a fun time. So, and then there's been plenty of beers since.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
So speaking of beers, let's pop a few open and do a Stone Cold Steve Austin here and go nuts, because these Toronto Blue Jays are freaking just on fire. The nice way of saying it is, like I asked in our show title for this evening, are we now the scariest team in baseball? I want to say we're definitely at least the scariest team in the American League wild card race, which has become just a Mad Max Thunderdome situation here with everybody piling on top of each other, with really four or five teams playing for a playoff spot. Brendan, the Blue Jays have been, like I said, on fire, or in fuego, if you will. Is this something sustainable, or are we just going to continue to be able to hear? We've been talking 90 wins on this show a lot. 90 wins is not terribly far down the line right now.
It's not. Yeah, I absolutely do. I mean, a couple weeks ago, again, like we've said the last couple shows, since they really started to get hot, this came out of nowhere because the team was not hitting. They were pitching pretty well, but they couldn't score any runs to support their starters. And then the bullpen was coughing up one-run leads, which they will do from time to time if you don't get them two or three runs to protect, maybe even four from time to time. So, yeah, they just weren't firing on all cylinders. But you mentioned 90 wins. It is, what, they're 8 wins away from 90 as of right now. I think the thing is, guys, and I think we'll touch on this as we get deeper into the episode, I don't think 90 is going to do it. And I'm probably not alone in that thinking. I know a couple people have tossed around 91. I think 91 could get you in, potentially, depending on how the Red Sox and the Yankees finish. But the craziest thing is, and why it's going to be so tight, probably until definitely that Yankees series when they come to Toronto, but probably that last series of the year when the Yankees are playing the Rays, the Blue Jays are playing the Orioles, and the Red Sox are playing the Nationals, is the fact that all schedules are pretty easy. The Red Sox have the softest landing spot, which means I'm not sure if I'd consider them the favorite because of that, but it's going to be easier for them to get in. The Yankees have the Red Sox on their schedule. They have some easy teams coming up. The Blue Jays schedule is easy too. It's just that 3-game race series at the Trop that does scare me a little bit next week. We'll get into that as we go, but absolutely, I think it's sustainable. But at the end of the day, 90 is what we've tossed around. I want to elevate that to 92 wins because I think 92 wins could eliminate the possibility of a game 1-6 tiebreaker. Who knows? But regardless, every single game from here on out is going to be filled with scoreboard watching, and it's going to be filled with intent.
Fangraphs are sitting at a 63.8 chance percent-wise of getting into the playoffs. They have some weak teams to go beat up on, hopefully, here. It's insane right now.
Yeah, they have to keep rolling. So, Brendan, as you mentioned, they're at 82 wins right now. I put up a tweet, I think it was yesterday or the day before, just showcasing the differences in the standings from the beginning of September until this point. So just on September 1st, the Blue Jays were 4.5 games out of a wild. Seattle and Oakland were in front of us, whereas today the Yankees and the Blue Jays are tied for a wild card spot. But this is what baffles me. Correct me if I'm wrong, but the Blue Jays have the series edge over the Yankees, right? So if the season were to finish today, it'd be in the Rogers Center, right? The
wild card. I believe so, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So that being said, right now, even though it's a 3-way tie in terms of games behind, between the Red Sox, Blue Jays, and Yankees, the Red Sox do have more losses than both the Yankees and Toronto. So that definitely gives them less of an opportunity at the moment to be in a wild card contention. And so my point is that if you want to get to 90 wins, you have to take advantage of those 10 games that you mentioned total against the Twins and the Orioles. I'm not sure, and I know we're going to get into predictions and whatnot later. I'm not sure that you can bank on a sweep, like just taking all 10 of those games, but I don't think it's inconceivable to take 8, right? And if you can just take 1 against Tampa and 1 against the Yankees, there's your 10 wins to 92.
Yeah, exactly.
If you can get that done, I think the Blue Jays have a real shot right now to make some legitimate noise. And I think at this point, given how hot they've been, how great the pitching has been, you can bank on them being in the postseason. I thoroughly believe that.
Adam, just one thing, sorry, Craig, is you did mention the tiebreaker thing there, and somebody broke it down this morning. If the Blue Jays tie the Yankees for the first wildcard spot, the wildcard game is in Toronto, so you're right. If they tie the Red Sox for first wildcard, then the Red Sox host the wildcard game, and the Blue Jays go to Fenway. Yankees miss. If they tie for the second wildcard spot, I think any combination, if you tie for the second one, it's not overly clear, but there's a one-game playoff for the second wildcard spot. If I think either way, if the Yankees and the Blue Jays tie, the tweet wasn't overly clear, but if there is a tie for the second wildcard spot, then there will be a game 163 for that final spot. So lots of possibilities.
Yeah. So out of those possibilities, guys, obviously, we've seen some things going on in the American League, period, and that is the fact that the Red Sox have shown they have a slight chink in their armor here, Brendan. The Yankees finally look like they've gotten back in step a little bit, but there's definitely something flawed with that team, and they're not playing like we've been playing. Same thing I can say with the Oakland A's and the Seattle Mariners. Out of those other teams that are competing for a wild card spot, assuming the Blue Jays keep some rhyme or reason of what's going on right now with their form, where do you think those other teams are falling out?
Oh, I don't think the Mariners or the A's have much of a shot anymore, being 3.5 back, 4 back, both of them respectively. They play each other 7 more times before the season's over. So if they split it, go 4-3, 3-4, whatever it is, then I think they basically eliminate each other. The only way the Mariners or the Athletics stay in the race is if one of them wins like 6 of 7 or even maybe 5 of 7, and that could help them stay afloat. But even then, they still got to make up that ground to catch one of the 3 teams that are in there. So I'm not worried anymore, Athletics or the Mariners, unless one of them totally dominates the other, and that helps them stay afloat when the Blue Jays are playing the teams like the Rays or the Yankees 2 weeks from now. So yeah, we just got to worry about New York. We just got to worry about Boston and take care of our own destiny. That's the good thing, fellas, is the Blue Jays do control their own destiny. Keep winning. Keep winning more often than you lose, especially on days when the Red Sox and Yankees win, you will make the playoffs. So just don't go into a rut, please.
Yeah.
And the way this offense is, guys, I don't really see that rut coming.
No.
It hasn't been a single source. And I know we had our kind of impromptu, even though we're riffing general tonight with our agenda. I'm going to just dive into the offense here, and we're going to talk about that first. Vlad has been Vlad, MVP level performance. We have been seeing Marcus Semien do nothing but basically do the same thing. George Springer's been able to sprinkle in enough, even though he is hobbled a little bit, but he has been playing great in the DH spot and coming up with some big key hits. Then you move into the regular, like, parts of this. Bo Bichette all of a sudden is showing up for the first like good spurt. Nothing against his season, but this is the ridiculous level we've been seeing from Bo Bichette over the last week. And then not to mention that Lourdes Gurriel Jr. is all of a sudden tapped into whatever the heck is going on with him, and he has been a force lately. So this is, like I said, a complete contribution around, and you can even get down into the Reese McGuire and the Alejandro Kirk level here in the bottom of our lineup. And Brevik Valero all of a sudden having like a bat. What the heck is going on with
him? Right?
So to that point, though, there's enough going on with this that I'm not scared that there's going to be a complete offensive blackout with the way they've been doing this. Is that how you guys have been thinking this? There's just enough going on here that there's enough interchanging parts that this offense is going to somehow find a way to put up 5 runs each night. Adam, I'm going to let you run with that first.
Sure. Yeah, I think that at this point, you have to be confident with the offense right now. There was a period of time, I want to say it was the end of August into September, because everything just sort of blends together so rapidly here, that the offense was just sort of off, right? And we were hoping guys like Simeon or guys like, at the time, Springer would sort of be the catalyst of the offense without the remainder of the team clicking. Remember, this is the time that Vladimir Guerrero was in his quote-unquote slump. And, you know, to regular standards, it wasn't even that bad. But to Vladimir Guerrero standards, it was pretty bad.
He's 300.
Yeah, right. I just don't know how they can slow down. I really don't. Like, you have players, as you mentioned, Craig, Bo Bichette, he's literally hitting balls that are almost to the ground out of the park, right? He's just basically
off
golfing.
The ground. I think they said it was 11 inches, so you're talking like what? Nothing.
He's just without even much effort, right? And Lourdes is finally showing up. Right, it took him a whole season to finally show up, but he's showing up at the right time. Simeon's is sort of
up the whole season, which is crazy. You know, he started in the lowest of lows, and it's been a constant shoot to where he's obviously doing what he did to the Yankees a few years ago.
Yeah, it was a slow crescendo to the arrival of Lourdes Gurriel right now. But also, you know, Vladimir Guerrero Jr. starting to heat back up. As I mentioned, Simeon Springer, he's definitely still hurt, but you got to admire the desire to get out there to help his team by any means necessary. Like we said, all hands on deck in previous episodes. And Kevin Biggio is looking really good in Buffalo, and it's only a matter of time before he comes. No, seriously, like offensively, he's looked pretty good.
Yeah, he has.
And even though it's still minor league. He's
sat in the tank the last few weeks. Something about being in Buffalo and pounding beer and chicken wings apparently hit when you come back up to the show.
Yeah, but not win NFL games against Pittsburgh. But look, it regardless. once this team fully clicks, and it's only a matter of time before Biggio joins the squad. Once this team fully clicks with Biggio, and you know, if the pitching can remain consistent, if Ryu can just slightly improve just a little bit, I need to see a little bit more out of him. I think we're in good shape. I really do. I think this team, with the drive offensively, with the defensive production in terms of pitching, and the bullpen hasn't even been that bad lately. I just see how you can slow down, especially against the Twins. I don't care. You know, Brendan, you talked about the Trop. I'm not even that afraid. You know, we talked last week.
And we bad, man.
Listen, we predicted one game against Tampa Bay. One.
No, that's all I'm hoping for sure.
But we predicted one at home.
I know.
And they won two.
Yeah.
And they bludgeoned them in game one.
But to that point, we talked about on this show last week that if they wanted to really solidify themselves and be good for the rest of the season to be able to run with what they've been doing, regardless of the fact that they exceeded all of our expectations over the last 3 weeks, even though we were all keeping the faith. They did the part they needed to while they were at home against the Rays, had a winning record. Now, if they go back and split that up or take the losing side of that 3-game series in the Trop, okay, great. That was 500 against one of the best teams in baseball, and we have to make sure we beat up on the Yankees, Orioles, Twins, and et cetera as we go down the line here. There's not that giant window for loss that was all of a sudden 2 weeks ago when we were all starting to wonder if this was really a lost season. So,
yeah,
Brendan,
yeah, it's your turn. I agree, Adam. It's they're clicking on all cylinders right now. I think this is the closest that we've seen to a Blue Jays team have all three facets of starting pitching, bullpen, and offense clicking all three at the same time, probably since 2015, 2016, and a little bit of 2020 last year when they made their run to the playoffs in that 60-game season. So it's fun seeing a team when all three facets are clicking. That's been very rare the last 25 years of Blue Jays baseball, say for 92 and 93 and 2015 and 2016, because there were some really damn good Blue Jays teams, guys, that, like, I want to say 2006, the offense was ridiculous and they finished in second in the AL East, but I think it was the back end of the rotation wasn't the greatest, or the bullpen. So there's always been that missing part. And you see what happens when you get an elite offense paired with pitching that is firing on all cylinders. You're virtually unbeatable. And that's what the 2015 Blue Jays were after Troy Tulowitzki and David Price. And it took a little while to get in gear after this trade deadline of Jose Berríos and other key members of the bullpen, but they have found their version of 2015, just making it extremely difficult on themselves, unlike the 2015 team that started playing unbeatable baseball back in August of 2015. So they had 2 months to ramp up and give themselves some padding. This team waited till the last possible second to find their 2015 gear, and they've done it, and they can continue that going forward. But it, just to quickly touch on the Trop, one game is my hope, especially if you sweep the Twins. If you can sweep Minnesota this weekend, which I know 2 out of 3, I hate predicting sweeps, but I'll just conservatively say 2 out of 3. One you could be fine with. It's not so much the fact that they're playing at the Trop, which has always been a house of horrors. It's more so the fact that the Yankees are playing the Texas Rangers in any of those games. Knowing the Blue Jays might drop 2 at potentially and go into potentially, if the Yankees win today, 2.5 back at worst. That's where it's a little dicey for me. If you can be 2 back going into Minnesota, I think you're totally fine. But it's just that part. The fact that the Yankees get the Rangers while we get the Rays at the Trop, that scares me.
Yeah. Anything you want to add?
I mean, look, this is... Look, I don't want to sound overly toxic here when it comes to sports, but... You got to quote Josh Donaldson. This isn't the tri-league, right? This, you got to get it done, right? And yeah, you have stiff competition against the Rays, sure. But you want to know what happens when you get in the playoffs? You have stiff competition. You want to know what happens if you make it to the ALCS? You're going to have stiff competition. You know, like I'm right now, comes down to what happened the night before. That's how my day is, right? When the Blue Jays lose, I'm like, oh God, I don't know what's going to happen because, you know, everything's so fragile right now with the Yankees and Red Sox. When all three of them lose, I'm okay. But right now, I'm thinking, you know, it's probably not going to happen. It is ridiculously inconceivable for this to happen. But at the same time, I'm like, yeah, you know what? It's cool. Let's take the wild card. Fuck it. Let's take the division. Like, that should be the mindset. Let's just go and just take it. And we're not. Like, I don't want to put that out there.
Miraculous.
Yeah.
Right now, especially when they've gotten a fire lit under their ass over the last 2 weeks. Hey, we just stole the, you know, we were talking about a couple of weeks ago. If they steal the wild card positioning of any kind a week ago over a weekend there, they're going to be a sure thing, I think, because that was just getting all the momentum in the right place. There's no reason that momentum shouldn't be translating to the fact that they should be thinking about that, especially after what they just did to the Rays and took it to school against them on the this 3-game series. Even the game we lost, we had a chance to win. It was a 2-0.
They should have won.
There's enough going on that game. They should have. Yes.
Yeah, and look, I look at it this way: playoff baseball is different than regular season baseball. It just is. Right. Players are in a completely different mindset. They amp up the intensity. It's not the same. Fans feel it. It's not the same. Right. But if you want to extrapolate things and, you know, maybe grasp at straws here, imagine if this past series was the ALDS. Just imagine. Like, it's not inconceivable. Like, the Blue Jays can take at least 2 out of the first place team in the AL East. They've proven it. It's happened. Right. And that's why it gives me confidence for them. Yes, it's the Trop, it's the house of horrors, and the ceiling sucks when you get fly balls there. It's terrible. Everything seems to happen. But last week, if you would have said to me, hey, do you think they can take 2 in the Trop? I would have said no. Now I'm like, it's not out of the question. I'm still not expecting it, but I have far more confidence in this team being able to do that on the road with this offensive surge that they're on, plus the pitching that they've been utilizing correctly. Give credit to Charlie Montoyo for actually managing the bullpen correctly.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just impressed with what I've seen. It's a completely different team. It's a completely different mindset. It's a paradigm shift from how they've been. So I'm confident they're not going to take the division. I don't want to put that out there and say that. I don't want anyone quoting me on our first show on Jay's Journal that Adam Corsair thinks. Maybe the fair weather fans will agree with me. But
tomorrow, just saying.
Yeah,
the comment section is going to be lit.
Do not quote me on that. I'm just saying that should be the mindset of the Blue Jays. Like, chase it, at least. Act like you have a chance to win the division. Act like you have a chance to be the champions of the AL East. And if you do that, I can't see them losing that many games. I can see them winning every series here on out.
If they do that, and you go into the playoffs winning every series. That would take you back to that Tigers series they won at Comerica Park. You go a month and a bit without losing a series. Everybody, the thing with this run that it's done too is it has generated attention from Fox. Like Dontro Willis on the Fox panel has been saying, watch out for the Blue Jays. They're the scariest team of the three right now. Kind of, Craig, what you were saying earlier, how they probably are the scariest of the Yankees, the Red Sox, and Toronto. People have taken notice south of the border, and it's rare when a team from Canada, the only team from Canada, captures the attention of the American media, and they've done that. And there's a lot of people realizing finally how good this team is, and a lot of realizing, hey, they may have an MVP, they may have a Young Award winner, and they could, probably not, but they could be the year voting. So there, and the reason why I'm still so hesitant about my mindset going up is this has just been the last 15, 20 years of Blue Jays baseball just has not taught me to be confident outside of 2016. 2015, I was confident as the season went down. 2016 was the only season in my lifetime as a Blue Jays fan where I was like, we can beat the shit out of anybody when we go and play them. And they did. And they made it to the ALCS. Lost in the ALCS again. But still, that's been the only season where I'm like, can beat them, can beat them. I have no worries about going into the Trop. So it's just a Toronto sports fan thing, I think.
I hear you. I feel you.
Toronto sports fan thing. I don't know if you guys saw, but I think it was yesterday or the day before, but Tom Verducci of Sports Illustrated actually all over the fact of the Toronto Blue Jays and how good. I'm looking at the name of the article, and it was, Bashing Blue Jays are the answer to MLB's woes.
Yes.
That's a pretty high-praising article title for somebody like Tom Verducci, who is a great baseball mind. So, not to mention it was a great read, so if you happen to be wandering around looking for something to look at, there you go. And then I don't know how much you guys have been watching of MLB Network at all, but the other day on MLB Central, freaking Mark DeRosa's even breaking out his normal shenanigans and almost, you know, pulling Muri Kawasaki out of retirement to have an interview for him again. But it was interesting. We reposted it in the Twitter feed, and it was more or less he took the idea that, you know, with the Barrio jacket, breaking down the Blue Jays, and was able to go, okay, Atkins and Shapiro did this, and they were kind of like the tailors at the, you know, at the, you know, getting everything ready for the team, and then Charlie Montoyo's doing what he's doing and making the magic, and then you have Vlad wearing the freaking monster pimp suit and all that kind of good stuff. It was really cool to watch. So it's very neat to see the Blue Jays. We haven't had this kind of exposure for the Toronto Blue Jays since Vladdy Mania.
Yeah, it's true.
Look, I just have all the confidence in the world right now, and I just can't see a scenario in which they miss the wild card. And I know, like, we're going to, I don't know how deep of a dive you want to get into these schedules here, but, you know, yes, I think, you know, you mentioned it, Brendan, earlier, that the Red Sox do have a soft schedule in comparison to what the Blue Jays have, right? The Red Sox aren't facing the Tampa Bay Rays. Their stiffest competition is the Yankees, followed by the Mets. Not in that order chronologically, but I'd say in rankings, that's how it really boils down to. But also, the Red Sox are a volatile team.
Right.
They're not, they're good. They are a good team, but they're also finicky. Right. And that series, Yankees and Red Sox, it's going to be one of those series that the Blue Jays are going to watch. The Blue Jays and their fan base are going to watch with very, very close eyes.
Yes.
Because you're going to, depending on where the series is and where the standings are, you're going to be rooting for a different team each day, probably.
Yep.
And two, you know, things. That might be the series that is the most key outside of the Blue Jays' control to actually might 100%. Rise the top of this with the Blue Jays, because like we said, the like Brendan pointed out, great thing with the Mariners and the Oakland A's more or less getting the chance to bash the crap out of each other, because that's gonna, I think you're right, Brendan, that's gonna end up being a 500 for both those teams, and they're just gonna end up mathematically eliminating themselves because they couldn't keep up the pack around it.
Exactly.
That series with the Red Sox and the Yankees has some of those similar implications, so it's not to the same extent as they only play that one series, I believe, but to that point, you split that and the Blue Jays win 2 out of 3 against that. That's another team. Only one of those teams rising to the top.
Yeah. And so let's just say the Yankees are beating the Orioles right now 2-1. So the Yankees will be half game up on the Blue Jays right now for the wild card spot. So they'd be in the first spot. Boston will still be on the outside looking in after that, because the Blue Jays are ahead of them just because the Red Sox have one extra loss. So let's just say the Yankees play Cleveland this weekend at Yankee Stadium. I think I can count on Cleveland to at least take a game this weekend. Mm-hmm. I feel pretty confident in saying that. And if we're going conservative and saying the Blue Jays win 2-3 against the Twins, then it's a wash. That's just, you're right there. You're still half game back of the Yankees. Yankees play the Rangers. I can't count on them to win any game. Maybe they squeeze out one, but I'm operating on the assumption that the Yankees win all three. Mm-hmm. If the Blue Jays drop two, then you're 2.5 back. You have your game where you can make up on the Red Sox and the Yankees on the Thursday in Minnesota. You win that, you're 2 back of the Yankees. Maybe you're a game back of Boston, depending on what they do against the Orioles this weekend, and then in that 2-gamer against the Mets. So that is where it all comes down to your point, Craig, is say you're 2 back, maybe you're 1 back. You fall out of it a little bit because you only win one at the Trop and the Yankees sweep. Whatever happens, it's all hypothetical, and it's just what's going through every Blue Jays fan's mind right now as we get closer and closer to the end of the season. So let's just operate under the assumption you're 2 back. You are hoping for the Red Sox to win 2-3 so you can gain that game back, that ground back on the Yankees. And then you can take matters into your own hands again and beat the Yankees 2-3 times. And then they go play the Rays. So, yeah, that's a long-winded way of saying, even if they do
lose. You're talking the Yankees play the Rays.
Yeah, the Yankees.
All right, okay, sure.
Yeah,
sure.
So even if you do lose 2-3 at the Trop next week and the Yankees sweep the Rangers, it's not all doom and gloom. It's only 2 back. You can make that game. You can make that ground up on the weekend when you play the Twins and the Yankees are playing the Red Sox, or just beat the Yankees 2-3 times when they're in Toronto.
There you go. So as Brendan basically just got the whiteboard out in beautiful mind, all that for us there for a minute, or was it more like that Allen math in the Hangover where all the math went while he was gambling and he went
pretty much.
Not so well.
That's only one of a ton of scenarios too, by the way.
You just pulled the one thread pretty there, man. But no, but that's exactly what it is. The Blue Jays are in control of their own perspective. And to that point, I want to talk. We talked about the offense. How insanely critical has this pitching been? We've only had really, I think, in the last month, one rocky start. And I can think of the Jose Barrios start, his last rough start. And who started the other day that they got? Oh, was it Maps that they got in the hole? But it was the bullpen that did that to him, if I recall.
Ryu's had a rough one or two.
Yeah, Ryu has not been that great.
Because to that point, but right now, if you guys are slotting this rotation up for where we're trying to get in line for the rest of the season, it's kind of crazy that you're almost saying that Hyunjin Ryu is our 3 or 4 guy. Right now, with how everybody else has stepped up. I know it's weird. I would still be tandeming him with Robbie Ray near the top of that, because you're really putting a lot on the shoulders of Alek Manoah and Jose Barrios to that point. But I don't know. Maybe that's another good tangent we can go off of here. But my point was the pitching and the bullpen has been critical lately to the Blue Jays' success, and they have been hitting on all cylinders as well. They've been obviously getting out-vibed by the crazy loud offense, but is what it is. But to that point, I wanted to make sure that we called out the fact that the Blue Jays pitching has been just as good as the offense over the last few weeks here. And honestly, I've been very impressed with Jose Barrios in that time frame as one, other than Robbie Ray being a Cy Young.
Yeah, Barrios has been, I mean, ever since I forget what start it was, but he's made some serious adjustments.
3 or 4. Right.
Yeah. He has the tendency to give up a home run or two. You can expect that, but consistency and intensity is there. I'm not sure right now. Maybe he would be the second best pitcher right now, is how I would slot it. Maybe, I don't know. Manoah's close too, but you can make an argument that Ryu is your 4.
Yeah, but you really could. But right now, if you were going to be lining up things, let's say you got do or die night, because you're right now we are the wild card team. We're not running away with a division.
Right, yes. Right.
That Robbie game Ray. With Robbie Ray, I
Robbie
assume
Ray, 100%.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, that right. So, who starts game one in that following series when we win? And maybe it's just me. I think that Ryu is going to want to have a little bit of a chip on his shoulder after that performance last year against the Rays, and he's going to want to come out and be gangbusters. I would honestly like to see him get off to a really good start in that first game and see if he can get that confidence back and have him to be another workhorse in that rotation throughout the playoffs.
Who would we be facing?
It'd be the Rays. The Rays are going to be in the American League.
I'm not pitching. I'm not having him start game one against the Rays. I'm not.
Okay. So I just don't. 2015 right now.
I want, at that point, I want Berríos or Manoah. And if I'm going experience, give me Berríos. Yeah. I just can't trust Ryu against the Rays, especially when it's going to be at the Trop. Sorry. I saw what happened last year in the playoffs. I'm not doing it. No.
Yeah. Well, we settled this the other week. If you start Robbie Ray in the wild card game and you do advance and go to the DS, Ray would be lined up to start game three. That's just normal rest for him with the off days and whatnot with the playoffs. So Robbie Ray starts game three. So the question of who starts game one, in my mind, comes down to who do you want starting game five? And from what we remember in 2015 and 2016, your game two starter is in line for game five with the off days. So I don't know if that changes the equation. Do you want Hyunjin Ryu being your game two and your game five? Or would you rather Jose Berríos being your game one and your game four or your game two, game five?
I don't want Ryu pitching at all.
Well, that's what I would say, too, just based off of current form. But we know they signed him for those games and he will get a start.
I don't care. Like, I don't care. Look at what they were paying R.A. Dickey. They were paying R.A. Dickey pretty good money, too. And he didn't play in 15 at all.
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
He did pitch?
He started game
four. In the postseason? Oh, yeah. Okay. My bad. I'm just saying for this, I'm going start with Berríos. I'd go with the confidence of Manoah. Then I'm going Ray, and there's my rotation.
Yeah. No, based on form, absolutely. Ryu actually falls out of it. And there's an argument to be made that Matt's is more deserving of a spot just because he's been better since August, really, especially the last couple of weeks. Like, it's crazy to say, but on form, Ryu is your fifth best starter currently, which is
You're putting in your best three against the best team in the American League. I don't want Ryu going up. No way. Maybe in a bullpen if he wants to do that.
But to that point, that's a nice place to even have him and Steven Matz lingering, right?
Yes. I would not hate that. Matz will
be there. But at the end of the day, I just know they signed Ryu for that. He is going to start, whether we like it or not. Ryu is getting a start in the playoffs.
Do not care. Like, if it was up to me, I'd say no.
Oh, I agree. Unless he turns it around and finishes strong, which he's very capable of doing. But I think regardless, even if he has a couple good starts, maybe a bad start mixed in there as the season winds down, he is going to start a game.
But to that point, even, like we said, Robbie Ray's been ungodly, and then you've got Jose Berríos, who's really found form. And then right now your third best starter is probably Alek Manoah because he's just kind of found his way and really been hammering, and what he did the other night was nothing short of remarkable. So it's insane the fact that he's even going to be possibly losing the Rookie of the Year award he's one of the best pitchers in baseball, so he'd be winning it, but that's at least best rookie anyway.
Basically, it's like, why would you mess with the series you just had and start those three guys is what you're getting at, Adam, is start the guys who almost led you to a sweep, which I think it was said yesterday after the game, they are after the Twin series, rejuggling the rotation, to line it up for the playoffs in a wildcard game in 163. But Sunday starter, which is supposed to be Manoah, is still TBD. I would not be surprised if that is Ross Stripling, just to push Manoah, Berríos, and Ray to that Rays series next week. That would not shock me. If it keeps them in line.
Just as long as Ray falls on the wild card game.
I think, actually, so this is interesting. If you do that and you put Ray to Wednesday, let's see this. I'm just going right now.
It would have to be Wednesday.
Because Ray starts Wednesday. So you have a four-game series against the Twins. He misses that. He starts Tuesday against the Yankees. In that series, that would put him in line for game 162 as of right now. You might not need him for that. Maybe you wrap it up, so then you just hold him back for the wild card game.
Especially in the wild card game, the day after that, isn't it?
Yes.
Fifth, yeah.
Yeah, you can't. He can't pitch that last game. He can't.
No. Wait. But he is there in the event that you need him for 162, which you might just to get in. And I think where the Blue Jays have the advantage over the Yankees and the Red Sox is you could start Berríos in the wild card game if you need Ray in 162. I'd be confident in Berríos going out there in the wild card game, unlike the Red Sox, who sail and nobody else after Chris Sale, and the Yankees are pretty much Gerrit Cole and nobody else after Gerrit Cole. So the best case scenario actually is the Yankees and the Red Sox play a game 163 to burn their guys, and then we welcome them to Toronto for a wild card game.
Yeah, so if you're saying that in order for the Blue Jays on game 162 to get into a wild card game, it's a do or die, they have to win this. Yeah, I'm pitching Ray.
Yeah, but 100%.
In the wild card game, because you can't pitch Ray the next day, I'm pitching Berríos.
Yeah, me too.
And at worst, I'm pitching Manoah. Like, if Berríos doesn't have enough rest, I don't understand why he wouldn't. But if there's a rest issue or whatnot, I'm going Manoah. I do not want to see, at least until the ALCS, assuming we get there, I do not want to see Ryu in this rotation at all.
There you go. Well, as we drop the gap. I want to bring something out here on the offense that we didn't really talk about, guys. And there's we're supposedly going to get Santiago Espinal back here in the next week. It sounds like he's been lingering around the locker room. He might be ready for a rehab assignment. The minor league season's obviously coming to a close in here in the next couple weeks, but the Buffalo Bisons are going to make the playoffs. They're leading the division for the first time in a long time, which is very insane with how many people we've been pilfering from that lineup.
Yeah.
So who's playing third base for you down the line here? Because we saw the Kevin Smith experiment kind of fall off and lag. He's back to crushing it in Buffalo. They pick up Jake Lamb, who has found a way to do
it okay.
Enough in the eighth spot, basically, for the Blue Jays, eighth, ninth spot. And he plays some solid defense. And then I still don't see Brevin Galera as a third baseman, but he has been very salvageable over there. It's similar to what we were thinking to get from Kevin Biggio playing from third base for all season for us, is my opinion. And then there's the other wild card. If Kevin Biggio is hot in Buffalo, comes up, are you giving him a spot in the lineup playing third base for a few days?
Not from what we saw earlier this year.
Yeah. It's rough to me, but to me right now, I think the best guy's Jake Lamb to be running with. And he's shown enough with a bat, especially in that Baltimore series, that he's able to get on base. And maybe he's found a little bit of that form that he was a 30 home run threat back in the day for the Arizona Diamondbacks. I think he's only 30. There still could be something in the tank there. It could be a reclamation project all done over again, but I don't know. That's the only spot in this whole lineup right now that I feel like we have enough defensive options, but what do you do to squeeze that last little bit of offense and turn the lineup over every night?
Yeah. All right. So when are we assuming that Biggio is eligible to come up this weekend?
I would think he is eligible already, actually. And they've been
when is expansion?
Him. I can't recall.
Do we know when rosters expand?
Like even further? I don't. Because it's pretty big right now.
All right. I'm giving the doubt, that eye and that plate discipline and, approach is far exceeds anything Lamb, Valera, or Espinal can give at the plate. I am with you guys that Espinal is the best third baseman on this team today. He had playing though. So I don't know if there's rust to ring out. I don't know if he's, in his right state of mind right now to do it. I'm giving Biggio the benefit of the doubt, because if we're relying on the pitching, like a Ray or a Berríos or a Manoah, like we said, I'm willing to sacrifice that corner for an offensive production. But that's assuming that he can prove that he can be offensively productive in the last, couple series of the season. So, and I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt, and if he shits the bed, then you move on.
Yeah, so the roster expanded 28 on the first.
Oh, they already did. Okay, so that's my bad.
Because the 40-man thing is done, which honestly...
Right.
That was the stupidest and weirdest rule in baseball, in my opinion. The reason that teams were, you're talking about speed of the game. When you can throw 50 freaking rookie guys out on the mound and change them every righty lefty that you have, I know that rule's obviously changed too, but you don't need 40 people in that, especially in some of those clubhouses in Boston this time of year. You see, like now with even 28 people, you're like, you're talking about, social distance caught on the vaccinating and stuff. that would have been nightmarish.
Yeah. Yeah, say the least. So
I'll finally change that up, but the 28-man roster is a firm thing for right now.
Okay.
So, to
yeah,
that
I'm
point,
giving them the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, that's a tough question. I don't know where to go, honestly. I know I don't want Valera. I know he's been good for a little while and coming up with some clutch hits, and it surprises everybody on Blue Jays Twitter every single time he does it. He's been useful. Somebody made the comparison the other day. The way Valera has kind of contributed the last couple weeks, very similar to how Zeke Carrera contributed down the stretch in 2016. They just give up very similar vibes, Braylon Valera and Ezekiel Carrera. But yeah, I don't want Valera. It's tough because I, like you, Adam, I want to believe in Kevin. I just can't get past how rough he was in the field with the glove earlier in the year. And pitching and defense is what you need in the postseason. And I know you're not going to get offense from Santiago Espinal, but you're going to get a glove. You're going to get a damn good glove and one that will help you. And Barrios puts a lot of balls on the ground. Robbie Ray, when he's not striking out guys, you know, maybe a little bit more of a fly ball guy. Ryu, when he's on, gets a lot of ground balls. Manoa as well, when he's on, gets some ground balls. I have Biggio on the roster for sure. And maybe you start him. You start him at third base to begin the game. But once you get into the sixth, seventh inning of a one-run game, there is no excuse to have him out there in the field as it gets closer and tighter. You put in Espinal in my mind at that point just to be a little more sure-handed when some of your relievers come in and your starters out of the game. But I'm curious to see where they go, because adding Biggio and Espinal back into the equation, there's going to be a couple difficult roster moves to be made. Maybe not so much Valera. That's not so difficult. But really liking the way the outfield has come together with all these extra guys, like especially with Springer being hurt. I'm loving Jerrod Dyson as a potential fourth outfielder over Randall Grichuk right now. You need that speed in the playoffs. So it'll be interesting. But yeah, I think Biggio gets a spot potentially, but Espinal would be where I would lean just simply for the glove.
You trust
so
I to do that?
An interesting tidbit that I was added into my math from our friends over at Blue Jays Faithful online here during our Twitter feed. Actually, just mentioned that Jake Lamb actually isn't eligible for the playoff roster.
That helps.
So there's that part of it too. So you're probably actually going to be looking at the Espinal part, because he can, I think, be still eligible because it's due to an injury. I think Kevin Biggio is in that same ballpark. The reason he wasn't on the roster was due to an injury. So there's some play in there, but and that might even be the same thing for what you were saying, Brendan, when Jerrod Dyson was added.
Oh, shit. Yeah, true.
I'm going to have to look that up and see. I'm trying to pull.
What's the rule again?
I think it was they had to be on the roster before rosters expanded at the beginning of the month.
Yeah, no, that's familiar. And Jake Lamb wasn't, and I don't think Jerrod Dyson was either. I could be wrong.
The only thing that might be the loophole on that, too, it also has to do with service time at the team that they played in. And Jake Lamb probably didn't make it into enough games with the White Sox when they have a good infield. Right. Same thing with maybe Dyson, too. But to that point, I'm trying to find it.
See, so. Brendan, you made a good point. Or an interesting point about, you know, maybe shuffling it up halfway through the game or whatnot. I guess my question to that is, do you trust Charlie to do that?
No.
And what if you're down 1-0? What are you prioritizing? If you're down 1-0 in a wild card game, what are you prioritizing? To me, I'm prioritizing offense.
Yeah.
Biggio.
Yeah, or it depends when you pinch hit for him to put Espinal in, because you could waste one of your bench bullets and your bats off the bench for replacing in Kevin, maybe getting a little bit more of a proven bat in there. I don't know. It's tough. I'm glad I'm not a manager.
Yeah. I just,
but to
I don't.
Point, I, something about Santiago Espinal just reminds me of Manuel Lee in the Blue Jays uniforms way back when. You know, he just finds a way to get into a game somehow and contribute, whether it's offensively or defensively. He's batting 300 guys almost. You know, it's not like he's a, you know, detriment to the offense being in the lineup.
No, he's not bad. I'm not, you know, shitting on Espinal here. I just, Kevin's eye is just elite. His plate discipline is elite. And I know the contact there, and he's not like an amazing hitter by any means. But if you're looking for a walk, I'm going Cavan, especially if Cavan batting ninth. If you're looking for a walk, which is what you might be looking at.
It's not a bad walk.
Yeah. I want Cavan with the plate discipline to get on base and plus a lefty.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. So the rule for the whole playoff eligibility thing is I just happen to stumble across is in a typical season, any player who is on the 40-man roster or a 60-day injury list needs to be on the roster before 11:59 p.m. on August 31st to be eligible for the postseason.
There you go.
And it also discludes anybody that has tested positive for any kind of performance-enhancing things. You're just kicked off the playoff roster. It's the only other expectation. So to that point, I don't know if even some of those other guys we were talking about there make it. Biggio's not; they're still on the 40-man roster. Never was on the 60, so that makes sense. Valera, obviously, Santiago Espinal should fall into that as well because he's still on the 40-man roster.
Yeah.
But to that point, I don't know what day did they acquire Gerard Dyson. To your point,
yeah, I can't remember when they got Dyson. Something tells me it was after September 1st.
Yeah,
because it was shortly after before Jake Lamb, right?
That's what I thought.
I can't.
Gerard Dyson.
August 27th, he was claimed.
Gerard Dyson?
Mm-hmm. He just
also, he would be eligible. Take him in the playoff roster instead of Randall Grichuk, please.
Yeah, I don't disagree, but I don't see that happening.
I don't either. And that, yeah, I don't see that happening.
Other things that, they're not going to carry three catchers through the playoffs. So no. Somebody's going to. But yeah, to that point. That's a talk for another day, boys. I was just thinking, well, who takes it for you down the stretch here? So,
I'm leaning
anyway.
Kevin.
Yeah. At the sake of going way too long, because we're near 50 minutes already on this week's episode, I wanted to talk quick on who some of the standout guys we've been talking about. Who were the outside of Vlad and Semien, who have been crazy MVP level. Both of them in all reality. Who else has really stood out to you that we can highlight here real quick before we do our picks to click?
Lourdes.
To me, it's Lourdes.
Yeah. Yeah. Did anybody pick Lourdes in picks to click last week? Somebody did?
Yeah.
I can't remember who.
Of course, Sarah's going to be doing a Mexican hat dancing about in celebration. And he's going to get the pineapples out and everything.
Yeah. Lourdes takes the cake by far. Outside of him, Bo Bichette seems like he's finally come into his own a little bit. That's helped Lourdes carry the team a little bit. On the pitching side, can't ignore everybody in the rotation outside Hyunjin Ryu. Everybody's done their job every time out. It's very reminiscent to 2016, where you're counting on these guys to go 6-7 innings each time out, and they're delivering. So the rotation outside of Ryu has been fantastic, and that's where I would go with my shout out.
I'm looking at the numbers right now for Lourdes in the month of September. Over 15 games, he's hit in every single one except three. His line is 385, 459, 808 with an OPS. This is amazing. 1.267. Is his OPS.
Jesus Christ. Wait, batting 7th or 8th every game.
Yes. And with 5 home runs, 26 ribbies, 2 triples, 3 doubles, 20 hits, 15 runs, 52 at-bats, 61 plate appearances. That's nuts. Been really good. Only 8 strikeouts, too, within those 15
games.
Yeah,
that's been key. He's striking out a lot earlier in the year.
Yeah.
And the fact that he's actually sneaking up into a 300 batting average on the season is slightly ridiculous. The guy was batting 96 through April.
Yeah.
It's kind of a U-turn, literally, right? So I'm feeling it. He's been one of my favorites watching this, and honestly, he is my wife's favorite. She just loves his shenanigans, and not to mention he's a great ball player. He is a class A goofball in that locker room.
let me throw some cold water on this, because this is what I do. Remember last year when we were all about Rowdy Tellez and I was like, sell high? I'm telling you guys, offseason, sell high on Lourdes.
Yeah, I wouldn't be opposed to that, to be honest.
Sell high.
I think we're seeing their Lourdes thing, period.
That's what helps you get Jose Ramirez in the offseason, Lourdes going to Cleveland.
Sell high.
Yeah, I'm with you there. But we're not there yet.
No, we're not there. No.
no hatching. So anyways, but to that point, he has been one of the key reasons for the Blue Jays' success and has had two huge home runs in the last few weeks. One of them literally bringing us back from the brink and bringing us back to a, what, 8-run return to coming back mm-hmm. to, you know, and then he had a grand slam the other night again too. So he's had two grand slams in the month too. And they, yeah.
Hey, so. Also, just side note, Yankees are only up 1 run, bottom of the 7th against Baltimore.
Please. Please, Orioles, just help us out, unlike last week when you coughed it up, too.
All right, come on, you know they do. So,
but to answer the question, Lourdes, and to a lesser degree, but not less important, Manoah. I really like the confidence that I've been seeing from him. Just the production has been good, and it's given me, again, the confidence of trotting him out there. Again, if we make it to an ALDS, he screams sort of like the Stroman. Yeah. Right, that game 5 kind of thing, same number and everything. He just has that confidence, and he doesn't piss me off nearly as much. So I like the arrogance, if you will. I'm sure from people that aren't Blue Jays fans that watch Alek Manoah pitch against their favorite team, they probably think he's super arrogant, and I get it. And you know, he probably, if he wasn't wearing a Blue Jays jersey, I probably wouldn't like him. But the fact that he pitches with such confidence and he doesn't lay down, he's given me confidence to see him pitch, even as a rookie, seeing him pitch in the postseason. I am not at all hesitant to give him the ball if need be.
I want to make a fun little, you mentioned the content of his, not like you said, not arrogance, but the fact that it's just, he, you know, he's exuding confidence, right? His attitude for opposing teams has got to be reminding people of Jose Bautista.
A little bit.
That's, yeah. Kind of like, I'm going to come out here, I'm going to put up or shut up kind of like attitude, right? At least it's how it's seen from the outside looking in, right? We've seen him hanging out with Hyunjin Ryu, and he's, you know, I think the only pitcher that jumps into a home run celebration with anybody on any team, things like that. The guy's going to be fun to watch for his career. We're already seeing it butt out. So it's good times for the Toronto Blue Jays and, you know, young pitching.
Yep.
So I guess we already talked Lourdes Gurriel Jr. Let's talk picks to click. And right now, the way the leaderboard is hashing out is Mr. Panikkar starting to run away with it a little bit, Adam. So we better hurry up and break our tie and see if we can get back in the playoffs here. Yeah. So to that point, Brendan picked Bo Bichette. Ugh. Adam, as I mentioned, you had Lourdes Gurriel Jr. And then I even had a good week, but not a great week from Alejandro Kirk. So... Very interesting, and then obviously the token Chris Kiebot is Robbie Ray still.
Yeah. So, I mean, I would normally give it to Robbie Ray. Just, you know, what do you have, 13 Ks yesterday?
Yeah.
I'm against the Rays.
The only Blue Jay outside of Roger Clemens that have 5 straight starts over 10 Ks.
Yeah.
Slightly.
I think it's close. So last week we recorded, well, on Wednesday, was it, or Thursday? Doesn't matter. It was Wednesday. All right. So last week we recorded on the, I guess it was the 8th. I'd say Bo. I'm leaning Bo.
I'm just going to give it to Bo right now just for the fact that he hit that one literally off his shoelaces.
Yeah, dude. That was a thing of beauty. And he's been playing good defensively, too.
I'll take it. I was going to say Lourdes as my vote, to be completely honest.
I think he's adding more to it. As much as Lourdes Gurriel Jr. has been insanely good, too. If he, I would say he'd be on par right now and tie Bo Bichette for the week if he Gunfield.
Yeah, I'll give it to you, Brennan.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll take it.
All right.
So Adam, you and I remain tied, and Brendan gets another checkbox. He has now 10 wins on the season.
What do we have?
6.
Okay.
6. Okay. That, and there's 3 weeks left, but playoffs too. So hopefully playoffs.
Yes.
Hopefully playoffs, and hopefully an extended run in the playoffs, so we can, you know, hopefully catch up.
Continue. Yes. Yes.
Because right now, Brendan, you've kind of clinched. I'm not gonna lie.
I'm in the playoffs, boys.
There you go. You can be like the San Francisco Giants, the Cinderella story that came back having like 1 win in the first 2 months. And not even kidding. Mine's all so front loaded. Like I said, I had 6 wins,
you
right?
You started off hot.
Yeah, you did.
I started off hot as I rode the Vladdy train.
I remember I started off like winless.
Yep.
Yeah. Adam, you took a good 7 weeks to get a win.
Yeah, it took me the whole year to get six.
Meanwhile, until the last few weeks here, Brendan was on a I'm going to win every 5 weeks job.
Yeah.
That's true. I remember that.
You won a very Blue Jays-like streak over the last 7 weeks. You've won 5 of those.
Okay. Well, hopefully my picks continue, and that is in line with the hot streak. So it seems like whoever I'm picking is doing well.
So, reigning champion, who you got?
Yeah, it's a good question. Marcus Semien, because he hasn't hit a home run for a couple days. He's been stuck at 39. He's still well within reach of setting the home run record for a second baseman. Going into Minnesota, where we do well next week. Oh, actually, sorry, we're a home this week. Never mind. But still, regardless, I take Marcus Semien.
Adam, you know what you want. Go for it.
Oh, boy. Heading into a series against the Twins. I'll go Vladdy. I need a win. Go Vladdy.
Chico.
Vladdy. And just because you guys took the other two best players on the team, right? I'm gonna go with Bo. I'm gonna hope and ride his heart.
There you go.
Astrid. I know that's probably who you were back and forth with, Adam.
It was. Yeah.
I would have taken Springer if his knee was a little better, but yeah.
He could Kirk Gibson himself three home runs this week. You never know.
Yeah, you never know.
So to that point, fellas, anything else you would like to add? I've sprinkled in all the stuff from the Twitter feed and all our Blue Jays fans that have been happy to join in with our chit chat this evening. Is there anything either of you would like to add before we do our two claps and a Ric Flair?
Oh, what do we think the records are going to be between now and our next recording?
Good call.
3 at home versus Minnesota and 3 at the Trop. And next Wednesday is an afternoon game, so we could get 2 series in. Mm-hmm. 4-2. I'm just not sure how that's going to happen. I want to say 2 out of 3 in both, because I hate predicting sweeps. But if they do go 4-2, it would not shock me if it's a sweep of the Twins and then 1-2 at the Rays. So that's probably where I would lean to get to a 4-2 record. But I was going to say 3-3, 2 this weekend and then 1 at the Trop. But 3-3, anything at 500 just seems like it's just not enough right now. So 4-2.
There you go.
Yeah. I'm going, 4-2. I think they're going to take 2 games apiece.
I don't want to be the guy that rains on the parade, but I think it's 3-3.
Okay. I think usually more confident.
I was very close to that, Craig.
And I know Josh Donaldson is going to somehow make us cough up a freaking win or a loss to the Twins. I just had this feeling that if the Twins are going to beat us, it's going to be because of him. I have this just irking feeling that he's been hitting the ball pretty well over the last month, but he hasn't had that like standout crazy week in a while. Something reeks of that whole thing. I'm just doing that against the Blue Jays.
I feel you.
So, but to that point, I'll flash some Bringer of Rain and have some fun too. I'll be all right with it.
Yeah, he'll be well received for sure.
He will.
It's gonna be fun to see him back in the back in the Rogers Center, anyways. So, to that point, boys, you got nothing else.
Well, I just want to say before we take off, again, this could be my last show. Child might be born, probably. Last show of the season. I'll try to hop on if I can throughout that. But if it is, again, very proud to be part of the new partnership with FanSided and Jay's Journal. Hopefully, you guys interact with us. Please hit up our Twitter. At Birdwatching GC, please, please, please interact with us during these live casts because we love talking Jays. We love interacting with everybody. We love the input. You can tell me how stupid I am, and I won't disagree. That being said, again, I think I speak for all of us that we're very, very excited for the opportunity, and I'm looking forward to seeing what it brings.
There you go. Very, very excited indeed. Not to mention, I guess if you're going to be interacting with our Twitter feed, you're going to also have to see the inevitable baby pictures of nothing but baby Blue Jay stuff coming from Mr. Corsair in the very near future here too. Once somebody finally feels like joining the world here.
Yeah.
Yes.
She's got it's warm.
Exciting for the podcast and exciting off the field for Adam Corsair and his lovely family.
Yes.
Good deal, fellas. So anyways, thank you very much to everybody at Minute Media and Fanside that, you know, were nice enough to find us and scout us, get us on a free agent contract that was lucrative for both sides. And from there. But until then, Blue Jays fans, like you said, make sure you hit us up on Twitter. Find us wherever you have been getting your podcasting pleasures from, on Spotify, Apple Podcasts. Give us ratings on that so we can help grow the, you know, evil part that we have going on here, even though it's more of an underground layer kind of like situation than anything. But to that point, Blue Jays fans, ready for the two claps and a Ric Flair, fellas?
Yep.
Do it.
Woo! Woo!
Let's go,
Blue Jays. Get your vaccine, too.
That's right. Two shots at Nordegan Rogers Center. Two shots.